you heard mentions of things like detours and coincidence and our plans and his plans in their story. We started this series last week, and we have a challenge before us because we're looking at this series through the lens of the life of Joseph as it's recorded in Genesis 37 through 50. And so our challenge is to read through that as many times as you can in the weeks to come so that you can follow along with the story, and that not only follow along, so that God can speak to each of us in this powerful story that we have in the Word of God. Destiny. Destiny is not a biblical word. I'm going to do a little recap from last week. Destiny, according to Dr. Tony Evans, is defined as the customized life calling for which God has equipped and ordained us in order to bring him the greatest glory and the maximum expansion of his kingdom. And we spend a little time on that because that's more than just having a job, paying some bills, getting the house on the hill, having the perfect family or the neighbors. It's more than that. Now, all those things, you know, they come at us, but unless we have a true calling for which God has equipped and ordained us, where he is visible, he is seen, the weight of his glory rests on wherever we are, and that his kingdom is expanded, we find that we are frustrated with all those things that we might be able to achieve and accumulate. Studying the life of Joseph, we went to the end of the book, the end of the story in chapter 50 of Genesis, and we got a glimpse of what Joseph must have saw when he was a 17-year-old teenager, because at the end of the story, we hear these words. He was talking to his brothers, and he said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And so we went from there back to the beginning of the story because that's how it ended, but you've got to hear his story at the beginning to make sense of it all. When he was 17 years old. Now we know Joseph, the great-grandson of Abraham, the grandson of Isaac, the son of Jacob, the patriarchs of the faith. He was one of 12 sons of Jacob. He and his brother Benjamin, born of Rachel, who was Jacob's wife that he loved immensely, that died, and he transferred the love over to Joseph, causing some confusion and dysfunction within this family. You know, we take heart in that because sometimes I know we believe that I cannot achieve those dreams that God put in me way back when I was a little girl, a little boy, because my family is just so messed up. Read this story right here and you will get some encouragement, because you think your family might be jacked up. Read this story right here. We can get some hope from this story. We get some hope because we find as a 17-year-old, Joseph made many mistakes because his brothers, who were jealous of him, sold him into slavery for three primary reasons. One is because he was a tattletale. He went back and he told his father bad things that his brother's been doing. Don't do that. If you're doing it, stop it. Second thing that he did, he was given a gift of having and interpreting dreams. But because of his immaturity, he didn't realize that you can't share your dreams with everybody, especially those that don't like you. There's a time and a place to share your dreams, but sometimes you need to hold it on until God works it out. And people will see it when it comes to fruition. You don't need to go blabbering about it. And the third thing he did that got him in trouble with his brothers, he had that coat of many colors. That coat that his father gave him to signify how much he loved him and how much he thought above him above all his other brothers. And Joseph wore that coat everywhere he went. And because of those reasons, his brothers sold him into slavery. And this is where we pick up the story today. You know, when I think about this story, I can't help think about detours. Detours, you know, like I've told y'all before, it's something about driving on the open road I like, especially when the trip is like 5, 6, 7 hours long. I can just get in my own element. Everybody else in the car go to sleep, and I can just drive. And I know where I'm going, and I've got a destination in my mind right now. I know what's going to be there when I get there. I know who's going to be waiting for me. I know how to get to the place. And I got a time frame in my head. You know, when I take off at this time, I know how long it's going to take me to get there. But every now and then, we could be riding on an interstate, and I see that sign up ahead that says, detour ahead. And all plans go out the window. Time frame you had, you might as well throw it out the window. Dinner that you know is going to be waiting on you is going to be cold now. Especially if there's construction happening ahead. Now, I want to make sure that we understand. I'm talking about construction on the road, but in this story that we're going to be talking about, we're talking about God doing construction in us, like he had to do with construction in Joseph to get him ready for the destiny that he had for him. And you know what happens? It's like the greater the construction project that's taking place on the road in front of me, the more convoluted the detour is. I don't know if you ever experienced this, but you'll be riding on the four-lane highway, and all of a sudden you see that detour ahead sign, and you get off the off-ramp, and you could have been traveling west, but the detour starts taking you north. And if you don't have a good sense of direction, before you know it, you're just all discombobulated. You can't tell which way you're going, and you just begin to think, am I still headed in the right direction? Especially if you get off on one of them Lee Rolls over there. You know, all they got is numbers, and you never get out of that maze. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't know, you know, the road goes this way, it goes that way, because the roads that's adjacent to whatever direction the highway you were on, they don't go in the same direction sometimes. They got to take you over in a loop and all around about the way to get you past the construction spot. And I find myself, especially when it's dark outside, and everybody's asleep, and I'm wondering, am I still going the right way? And I find myself having to be dependent upon these signs that look similar to these signs. Those signs just point. It just say detour, and it'll point left. Detour, it'll point right. And I have to just be dependent upon those signs. As a matter of fact, the title of this message today is Signs Along the Way. What I want to do for us this morning for just a few minutes is just introduce to us to some signs that we might need to pay attention to as we're traveling on our road to our destiny, that destiny, that place that God has for you, that dream that God put in you, that vision that God gave you a long time ago. Some of you are operating in that dream right now. Some of us are still waiting to get there. Some of us have given up on the dream because it seems like we've turned off the main highway and we're in this detour. And let me tell you, sometimes God takes us in that detour because we're not ready for the destiny. He has to tear down some stuff. He has to build up some stuff. He has to correct some stuff. He has to do some things in us so that we'll be ready to handle the destiny when we get there. But there are some signs that we can pay attention to along the way to let us know that God has not left us, forsaken us. We pick up in the story, we're in chapter 39, and don't get upset. I know I skipped over chapter 38. That's a detour in the middle of the detour, and we might get back to that before we end this. Read it, because it does apply. It has a very, very strong connection with where we're going to end up at. But in chapter 39, Joseph has been taken down to Egypt. See, he was a Hebrew lad, born of his father and his brothers and all of their family in Canaan, and now he's taken to Egypt, and he's introduced to Potiphar. Potiphar picks him up. He's the captain of the guard. He brought him from the Ishmaelites and taken him into his home. The first sign that you're still on the right path, that you're in the right direction, is God's kindness and favor is with you. Even in the detour that you find yourself in, God's favor and kindness is still there. I'm talking about in the dark place, in the sickness, in the surgery, in the divorce, in the job loss. I don't care what it is. Whatever detour you find yourself, some of these things we didn't bring upon ourselves. Somebody else brought it to us. Sometimes God lead us to it. But I don't care how you get there. If it's off the path that God has for you, it's a detour, and you can still find God's goodness and favor in the middle of the detour if you just open up your eyes and look for it, because he is there. Amen. I could show you how it was there for Joseph, because here's Joseph in this strange place, in this strange Egyptian's house as a slave to him. And look what the Bible says in verse 2 and 4. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. He found favor in the midst of this dark situation. And some of us, in the darkest of times, God shows up in ways that let us know that he is still with us. He's still there. See, he promised to stay with us not just through the detours, but through trials and storms. Deuteronomy 31:6. This promise is found there. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, the enemy. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. In the New Testament, we saw the disciples went on that boat ride with Jesus. Matthew, go to Matthew 8. Just jot this down. Matthew 8, 23 through 27. That's the story of when disciples accompanied Jesus on his trip on the boat. The storm came up. They panicked. They thought they were going to die. But what Jesus was with them. And not only was he with them, but he got up. And he said, peace be still. And the storm had to stop. And everything became calm. He's with us in the middle of our dire situations. Isaiah 41:10, God reminded Isaiah, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So the first sign that we need to pay attention to, I'm trying to help somebody here because sometimes we get in these detours and we get so frustrated, so aggravated that we can't see God. But I'm telling you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God is with you in the middle of the worst situation that you find in your life. And if you would just look for him and see him, it may help you get out of that detour a little faster than you would if you did. Second sign that you know that you can know that you're on the right path. Persecution for righteousness' sake. Now, I know you don't like that one right there. But look at Joseph's story. Look at his life. We're still in chapter 39. Now, Potiphar, by this time, had given everything over to Joseph. Only thing Potiphar was concerned about is what he was going to eat. Everything else, Joseph was running the show. And then Potiphar's wife come into the picture. Joseph was well built and handsome, and Potiphar wanted him. But he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. Look at his response to her trying to get him to go to bed with her. He refused. He told her this, with me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you. Because you are my wife, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Now, let's be for real. I'm quite sure this was a strong temptation. She was Potiphar's wife. He was a powerful official. She was probably an attractive woman. And this temptation was before him. But he resisted. And this is a lesson to us. When temptation comes our way, we need to resist it, not just because we don't want to get involved, because it is wrong, it is wicked, it is against what God has for us. And you know what? I think that sometimes we have to do this in life, and if you don't have to do it, I'm going to have to question what God you serve. Because we live in this wicked, broken world. And sometimes for God, for serving the Lord, we will face temptation and opposition. Well, she didn't give up. She continued to pursue him. As a matter of fact, she got just real tricky with it. She sent everybody away. She fixed it with nobody there but him and her. And she went after him hard. And he did what we all should do in the times when temptation is knocking at our door. Sometimes you just need to turn the other way and run. And that's what he did. But man, I don't know why, but Joseph had trouble with them coats because he left his cloak behind. She grabbed onto him and He was getting up out of there. And she kept his cloak. Talked to the servants, told them what accused him of trying to do something that he wasn't guilty of doing. And then when the master came back home, when Potiphar came back home, she told him. We're now down verse number 13. In verse number 17, she told this story. The Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. Well, talking about a detour, this is a whole road closed now. Yeah, wasn't no more going down this particular highway because Joseph was sent to prison. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, we pause right there. Listen to this. Joseph was put in prison not because he did something wrong, but because he stood up for what was right. He never slept with her, nor did he welcome her advances. And when she pressed in on him, he fled. But because she had accusations against him, he was sent to prison. Now, I'm going to state this again. If you never experience negative repercussions because of your Christian faith, you need to check your faith. Yeah, you need to check your faith. Daniel was sent to the lion's den. Why? Because he continued to pray to God and refused to bow down. But God didn't leave him in that mess. He was right there in the middle. Is that right? In Matthew 10:22, Jesus promises that you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. In Matthew 24:9, he told his disciples, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." Paul writes in Timothy 3:12, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Philippians 1:29 reads, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." But I got good news. See, even now, even in this field situation, God's kindness and favor was with Joseph. Oh, yes, it was still with Joseph. Look what it says as we continue on with verses 21 and 23. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. You see, when we favor works like this, God has it for us. And if we obey and have faith, he will deliver it to us, no matter what the circumstance we may find ourselves in. But we must participate with God in his desire to bring favor to our lives. And this is what Joseph experienced. There's a third sign, because I know you didn't like that one too much. So let me see if I give you one that you kind of want to hold on to. But you need to look for it. You need to look for it because sometimes we will find ourselves in situations and it seems like everything is coming against us. But when we know we are right, when we know we are doing what God has called us to do, when we know we are not disobeying the rules and the promises of God in our lives, then God will elevate us in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through. That is a truth, that's a promise, and we need to hold on to that. But then there's another sign. Another sign that we find in the story of Joseph, and the sign is this: that we know we are still headed in the right direction when all of a sudden there becomes an opportunity to minister to somebody else that's going through the same thing that we're going through. When somebody else comes along that seems to have the same struggle that you have, same struggle that I have, in the midst of the detour that I find myself in, it's a sign that we're still headed in the right direction. And don't ignore that sign. Don't go through that sign. You know, you need to pay attention to that sign. Joseph did. Because two individuals got put into jail. We're in chapter 40 now. You know the two individuals? Y'all been reading? Y'all been reading? Who were they? The cupbearer and the baker. The cupbearer and the baker. They were the cupbearer and the baker for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And something had gone down. You know, the cupbearer, his job was to make his drink, the king's drink, and he sipped it before he gave it to the king. So if anybody was trying to poison the king, you know, he would die and long live the king. You know what I mean? Likewise, the baker. The baker was making all of these delicacies, and his job was to taste it before the king ate it. And if anybody was trying to get, see, it wasn't any peaceful transfer of power back in these days. It was whoever can take down the man got right to be the man. And so living in that kind of environment, he had to protect himself. And something evidently happened. It doesn't say this right out in the Bible, but read it. You can see it. Something happened because he put both of them in jail. And guess what jail they went to? The same jail that Joseph was in. The same jail that Joseph was in. And the warden of the jail put them under Joseph's care. Now get this picture. Here we got somebody from Canaan, a Hebrew, that was put in charge of Egyptians. Yes, they were prisoners, but you know, Egyptians were above Hebrews no matter what kind of situation they were in. But here this man was in charge of these two. And this point that we're talking about, opportunity to minister to others, because they had a dream. And then Joseph, as we pick up in verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8 of chapter 40, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" They said, "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Remember, Joseph has been given the gift of not only dreaming, but interpreting dreams. And he said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream." It looks like the detour is getting ready to go in another direction here. God places others in our lives who are going through similar struggles so that he can prepare us for a similar service in his kingdom. He uses other people and their problems to help us focus on them. Selflessness and not about ourselves. Selfishness. And sometimes when we're in our detour, when we're in that dark place, we get so consumed about what's wrong and what's happened to me that we can't see anything around us. And sometimes God will bring along someone that's struggling just like we're struggling. And you know what he's trying to do? Get us to stop looking at our problems so bad and help somebody else. Has it ever happened to you that just when you least expect it, in the worst situation of your life, here comes somebody else that's struggling with the same thing that you're struggling with? And this is my question to you. What do you do about it? What do you do about it? Well, there were some dreams. We don't have time to go into it. I trust that you're reading this material. The cupbearer had a dream, and he told Joseph what the dream was, and Joseph turned around and told him what the dream meant. And the dream meant that in 3 days he was going to be released from jail and that he was going to be restored back to being a cupbearer for the Pharaoh. And then he told the cupbearer this: "But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the baker heard him interpret that dream, he said, "Wait a minute, let me tell you about my dream." Unfortunately, interpretation of his dream wasn't as good as the cupbearer. He told him an interpretation of his dream that was in 3 days, Pharaoh was going to chop his head off. And in 3 days, guess what? Everything happened just like Joseph said. Now, Joseph was in jail still. And yes, he was elevated. He was in charge. But he's still in jail. And you know, sometimes we read this and it sounds like, okay, well, he was in jail. If you go to Psalms, it's recorded that he had a brace around his neck, he had shackles on his, and it was in jail. It wasn't this nice, comfortable place. He was in jail. You understand what I'm saying? He was in jail. And now he's speaking life into. That he's saying that you're going to get restored. And he just simply asked him, remember me. Tell Pharaoh about me. So he's sitting there waiting. He's probably waiting on the knock on the door when they come in and say, Joseph, roll it up. Oh, somebody here know what that means. you have to have been there to know what that means right there. Roll it up. And he waited. I mean, surely the cupbearer is going to tell him about what I've done for him, the dream I've interpreted. Surely he will. But let me tell you about another sign to let you know when you're still on the right track. Joseph thought the detour was coming to an end. But look at the end of the chapter and look what it says in verse number 23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And he didn't forget him for 1 or 2 days, folks. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But it's 2 long years that he left him. The final sign that you're still on the right path, the final sign is this. God postpones the completion of your detour. And I know I've had it happen to me, and I'm quite sure you've had it happen to you. It seems like finally you were coming out of this hole, this pit, this prison, this dungeon. And just when you seem like you get into the surface, you get ready to take a right, and God turns left. But I want to encourage you, my friends, that's not the time to throw in the towel. Because sometimes, many times, God intentionally delays the moment of our destiny because he is still correcting, he's preparing, he's maturing us. He's not only maturing us, but he's preparing destiny for us. And just like we don't want to get there too soon, we don't want to get there and it's not ready for us. So God is preparing. So he's working on things simultaneously. He's working on that vision he's given you. He's working through this broken world. And he's working on you as well. And when the time is right, when he can put the two together, he will. Nelson Mandela, he sought to change South Africa and move his country toward racial equality. But you remember the detour he went on? Spent 27 years in jail, many of them in isolation, because God needed to do some work in his heart. He went in an angry man, a man wanting to take over by any means necessary, if you will. But 27 years in that jail cell, God worked on him, and when he got out of jail, he led his country in a national reconciliation movement that's still the wonder of this world. We must recognize that in order to live out the specific destiny that God has in store for us, we are likely to experience delays and setbacks. God has used them to fashion us into the people who are ready for the destiny that he has for us. Those serving communion, will you please make your way up front? We're going to end our service today in celebrating Holy Communion together. And if you're here to pray with others, would you come to the front and position yourself between the altars? Because I believe that as we've gone through this rather quickly, but it doesn't take long when the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us. It doesn't take long for God to park right in your driveway and bring the mail that you need to have. Because for some of us, we've been so bitter, we've been so disappointed, that we've lost all sight of God's presence in our lives. We've been so busy complaining and griping and groaning and moaning, that we have passed right by opportunities to minister to others who are in worse shape than we are because we made it all about ourselves. Some of us in this room, when we got to that point about persecution for righteousness' sake, you said in your heart, Derek, you just don't know. I'm persecuted because I was wrong. And you know what? Today is the day that you can just come and get it right. Confess. Repent. Ask the Lord to meet you in that place, and He will. And then for others, you know the heartbreak of almost seeing it all come together. And it seems like God went the other way. And you've been angry. I had a visit from someone just this past week. I didn't know this person. They called in to make an appointment. And I had no idea why in the world I was talking with this person. And they sat down across from me, and this is what they began to tell me. God is just jerking me around. And I went to say something about, well, maybe He's preparing you. And they said to me, that's His cop-out. I was like, wow. But in about a 45-minute period of time, I sat there and I marveled at the majesty and the wonder and the power of our living God as He melted that person's heart. And by that time they left, they said, you know, I'm going to think on these things. And that's all I could ask. That's all I could ask. Would you stand, please?